So what effect do these cannabis chemicals produce in people, though? And how? Well, with us to find out is Dr. Willie Notcutt. He's a pain specialist from the James Paget Hospital in Norfolk. Hello, Willie.
Hi. Hello.
What sorts of chemicals are actually in cannabis?
Well, there is a range of chemicals there. Perhaps to understand them, how they work, we need just to backtrack and think of morphine. Everyone knows about endorphins and talks about endorphins, which are the brain's own morphine-like chemicals. These chemicals lock on to what we call receptors, opiate receptors on nerve cells, and relieve pain, for example. But endorphins are very different chemically from the morphine, which comes from the opium plant. Now, similarly, we have a group of chemicals in the brain and receptors called the endocannabinoids, like endorphins, endocannabinoids. And this is a system of chemicals and receptors in the brain which have a range of effects. But again, endocannabinoids that work in the brain are totally different from the THC and CBD, which are two of the main chemicals that people know about that come from the marijuana plant.
And your point being that it just so happens that because the plant makes those chemicals and they bear a resemblance, chemically speaking, to what the brain is using, when they're put into the body, they can produce brain-altering effects.
Yes, they mimic, just like morphine mimics the endorphins in the brain.
And when they're in the brain, what impact do those, either the natural compounds, the endocannabinoids, or the THC and the CBD you've mentioned coming out of the cannabis plant, what effect do those chemicals have on the nerve cells in the brain?
The two broad effects, I think, which are we've been studying, the first is that they're rather like a damping mechanism. They damp down pain, for example. They're rather like, I always think, the sprinkler system in a building. When there's a fire breaks out, the sprinkler system comes on and doesn't necessarily put the fire out, but damps it down. I think endocannabinoids cannabinoids from the plant do much the same sort of job. But they also have a role in damping down inflammation, both within the nervous system and outside of it as well.
I was going to ask you, are they active only in the brain, or do other parts of the body also have the ability to respond to these chemicals?
No, the second, outside the body. I mean, there are studies going on into ulcerative colitis, an inflammatory condition of the bowel. They've been used in treating the pain of rheumatoid arthritis and found to affect not only the pain, but also the inflammation that's going on in the various joints that are affected by the condition.
Have there actually been proper clinical trials, or is most of the knowledge about the medical properties and potential medical properties of cannabis, is that based on largely hearsay and people saying, well, I've tried this myself at home in my living room and I seem to get some relief by using this stuff? What's the situation with that?
This really led to trials getting underway, was what particularly the patients with multiple sclerosis were telling us. But there's been an extensive program of proper clinical trials, which have been passed by the MHRA, the Home Office in London, as being standardised and good quality clinical trials. These have been going on now for 15 years and are broadening out now into other areas and again based on basic science. There's been basic science onto these compounds going on now for 40 to 50 years, and almost the clinical research can't keep up with what is coming out of the basic science labs and from animals and similar sorts of research.
How are doctors seeking to administer the agent? Because obviously one doesn't want to be encouraging people to smoke this stuff, so there must be safer ways to administer the agent.
Yes, this was a major challenge in the late 90s, was to develop extracts of cannabis that were of medicinal quality. The first was to standardise the amount of THC and CBD that we were going to be using, and so it needed to be extracted from the plant so that there were no impurities. And then we had to have a delivery system, and the one that we've been currently using is spraying it under the tongue so it's absorbed through the lining of the mouth. We had to prove in the clinical trials that this was safe to do it and didn't produce the sorts of psychosis that you're going to be talking about later. And most of all, of course, that it was going to be effective for patients, that patients were going to get benefit from it, and actually prove by clinical trial what people have described for many, many years as anecdotes about their own experiences, now to prove it so that we can say, here is a proven medicine that can be used and can be applied in different ways.
And apart from the conditions you've mentioned, ulcerative colitis in the intestine, multiple sclerosis and some pain states, what other conditions might be amenable and treatable using these sorts of chemicals, THC and CBD?
Well, there's a huge range of, if I just stick on pain, there's a huge range of pain states that don't have treatments for them or have insufficient treatment out there. But there's been some work in diabetes, psychosis. There's some new, very exciting work going on with the agent cannabidiol or CBD, which really has no what we call psychoactive effect on the brain in terms of like the high of THC. But there's work going on with that in the treatment of childhood epilepsy, and some very exciting results being seen of people who have children who have continuous fits and then being given the agent, or given CBD, and finding that the fits are totally controlled. So there's a range of things going on. There's also work, consideration of work on autism. There's some work going on possibly or into Alzheimer's disease, because we know that the cannabinoids are protective and protect against inflammation, particularly within the brain. So there's a huge range of exciting possibilities out there to be researched into.
We'll hear about one of them next. That's Willie Notcutt. He's from the James Paget Hospital in Norfolk.